My guest at this time is Matthew Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. He joins us today to react to the state of California lodging 15 felony charges against Center for Medical Progress activists David Dalyden and Sandra Merritt. And Liberty Council is representing Sandra Merritt. You might remember the Center for Medical Progress is behind those undercover videos that allegedly exposed Planned Parenthood for harvesting and selling the organs and other body parts of aborted babies to research facilities. The state of California is arguing Dalyden and Merritt repeatedly violated state law forbidding the recording of private conversations without the consent of the other parties. But legal precedent may very well be on the side of the defendants in this case. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
These two activists have been through this before, as you and I have discussed in recent months, but now there are more charges and potentially stiffer penalties at issue here. First of all, how is Sandra reacting to these charges?
Well, Sandra certainly resolved to continue to move forward. She didn't do anything wrong. This is outrageous. But, you know, whenever you become a target of a criminal lawsuit or a criminal indictment, as in this case, not just of a felony, not just of one felony, but of 15 felonies, it's quite daunting. We will push through this. She'll stand strong, and we'll get this case dismissed. You know, the matter in Texas where the Houston grand jury indicted her and David, that was a misdemeanor for her, as bad as that was, and we got it dismissed. Now what the California Attorney General has done, who, by the way, has received contributions from Planned Parenthood, and who Cecil Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood, had glowing things to say about when he was appointed from his elected position on the state level to the attorney general position. So he's in the pocket of Planned Parenthood. This individual brought 15 charges, and they're criminal charges, 14 for each one of the people who were recorded, and then a 15th charge that alleges conspiracy because of the work between David and her. That's according to the allegation. This is just outrageous. There's no basis for it. And certainly there's a lot of defenses because here, clearly, Sandra certainly did not do anything wrong or illegal.
We'll get to some of that in just a moment. What comes next procedurally, Matt?
Well, the next thing is that she has to be arraigned. And there can be one of two ways. She gets either publicly arrested or she turns herself in. We're going to work out an arrangement where she doesn't have to worry that at 1 o'clock in the morning she's going to get a knock on the door and there's going to be somebody there to arrest her and take her down to get booked. So we're going to work out a time and a process to be able to get her booked and arraigned, and then the legal process starts. So that's the first step. And then the second step is going to be moving forward with the defense, and we will do that very vigorously and very quickly.
Talking with Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, which represents Sandra Merritt. Matt, this may well come down to a decision over what constitutes the definition of a private conversation. Legal precedent, even in California, seems to suggest that recording such conversations in a public place, like restaurants or at a conference where a lot of these videos were shot, does not qualify as private. Others suggest that it's not that simple. What will your argument be on this issue?
Well, we've got a number of different defenses, but certainly the question of whether these conversations were confidential is one of those defenses. One of the defenses is whether or not someone reasonably believes or has a belief that the person being recorded has committed or is about to commit a crime, and there's other defenses as well. And here, the fact of the matter is these conversations were in the public. Those are not confidential. In fact, Cecil Richards has already testified before various committees that many of these conversations, she said, weren't even confidential. So that's Cecil Richards' own admission. And moreover, it's a very reasonable understanding to believe, and I think objectively it's true, that Planned Parenthood was engaged in illegal activity. In fact, Planned Parenthood's provider that they were selling to, Stem Cell Express, they are facing a state lawsuit right now brought by a prosecutor in another county because they were buying baby body parts from Planned Parenthood, and they were then turning around and selling those body parts. They even created a catalog, like you would have a parts catalog. the catalog that Stem Cell Express created was a baby body parts catalog. They had prices for the different body parts, and they even ran monthly specials, or specials of the month, if you will. Unbelievable and highly calloused, and yet that's what was happening. And consequently, all of that is very reasonable to believe and to understand and objectively to see that Planned Parenthood was engaged in illegal procurement and sale of baby body parts. It's a state and federal crime to do that. So there's lots of different defenses, and those are just some, but there's others as well.
Matt, you lead right into some of the research that others have done on this, namely some pro-life journalists, perhaps most prominently Sean Davis over at The Federalist, where he has uncovered stories where undercover reporting of animal mistreatment, both chickens and ducks, separate investigations, has led to authorities cracking down on the farms where there was alleged mistreatment of chickens and ducks, yet in a situation where it's the dissection and sale of human body parts, it's the people who expose the story rather than the people carrying it out are the ones in trouble now. What do you make of that?
Well, it's California. That's what you make of it. The prosecutor is in the back pocket of Planned Parenthood. He got a campaign contribution from Planned Parenthood. Cecil Richards speaks very highly of him, even has mentioned him in glowing terms in a press release. He's an ideologue, and ideology has trumped the law in this case. It's unfortunate. You know, ideology, he can have his personal beliefs all he wants to, but to transform that into an indictment of innocent individuals is absolutely reprehensible. You would hope that ideology would not trump the law, but that's in fact what has happened here. This prosecutor far overstepped what the law is, and he put his ideology ahead of the law. That's what you have. So you have this aberration between someone videotaping abuse with animals, and there's no problem. They are patted on the back for bringing this horrible situation to light. But in this case, instead of being patted on the back for bringing this illegal activity to light of Planned Parenthood and Stem Cell Express and these others, they are the ones that are targeted for criminal prosecution. And that's, I think, got to change. You know, the prosecutors that put ideology above the law, they need to go. You know, we had that for 8 years under the Obama administration, and you've got that on the state level here with this prosecutor in California.
And of course, since those videos came out from the Center for Medical Progress, I believe California has passed and signed into law even stiffer penalties for undercover reporting. And we were now learning that Kamala Harris, now a senator, formerly the attorney general, apparently coordinated with Planned Parenthood in writing these laws. So with the punishment for investigative reporting becoming more and more severe, what is the impact of this debate, not only in the pro-life, pro-choice part of the public square, but also in terms of the First Amendment?
Yeah, well, what has happened is after all these things, so it doesn't apply retroactively, obviously, but going forward, led by the former attorney general, is now a senator, working with Planned Parenthood, this law is passed that I think is the only one in the country that makes it a crime no matter what. There's no exceptions if you record somebody with regards to abortion or some kind of other related procedure. And it could even be medical. So, you know, when you have a doctor performing fraudulent and frankly dangerous surgery outside of the context of abortion, and they're ripping off, say, Medicare or Medicaid and other things like that, now the people won't be able to know that because you won't have any investigative journalists that will be able to do their investigation. So in order to protect abortion and make it so sacrosanct, the Florida or the legislators there in California, led by the former attorney general, this law has passed, and it's going to hurt the people of California. They're not going to be able to know critical information on a wide variety of issues going forward. I think that's a tragedy. But the current attorney general is basically a clone, if you will, of the former attorney general. They're both in the back pocket of Planned Parenthood. So I think it has, at some point in time, if that is challenged, it's not going to come up in this case, But if it's challenged at some point in time, I think what you have is a serious First Amendment violation. And I'm not sure that that's going to hold up before the United States Supreme Court whenever that is challenged. And it certainly will be challenged by somebody down the road in a different case.
Matt, we'll let you get back to work. Thank you, sir, very much for bringing us up to speed and to provide your analysis of the case.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.